Welcome to the program, God and Country, a program where we discuss social, political, economic, current events in the light of the Bible. I'm your Bible teacher and host, Pastor Brad Winship. There are many specialized Christian radio programs. Some address family issues. Others address personal finance issues. Others, psychology issues. The Bible does have the answer to all of the problems you face. Psalm 68:20 says, God is to us a God of deliverances, and to God the Lord belongs escape from death. But all of these temporal deliverances from financial problems or social problems or marital problems are to point you to seek deliverance from your ultimate problem, separation from God because of personal sin. In that you see that God can deliver you in earthly things, understand there is a greater deliverance he wants you to receive. When Jesus fed the multitudes, he gave the people earthly, temporal deliverance. But that was only to draw them to believe on him as Savior and Lord, so that they would receive heavenly, permanent deliverance. A fixed-up society, or a fixed-up marriage, or fixed-up finances is great, but it's not the root problem. The goal is a new heart, and your eternal salvation. Some people, of course, only want earthly deliverance. Once they get it, they walk away from God. I remember one man said to me, I want to get over my drug addiction, but I'm not interested in God. Many people are like this at various levels. Don't be like that. Don't walk away from the eternal deliverance that Jesus Christ has to offer. This program about the Bible and current events is to ultimately point everyone to repent and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is the ultimate deliverance. Who is in the White House and what laws we have in our land are only a temporary fix. The kingdom of God is the ultimate deliverance. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all of these other things that you want will be added to you. For today's program, I would like to draw your attention to a very subtle sin that is permeating our nation, a sin that threatens our very freedom and prosperity. It's called many things. But a very descriptive title is entitlement. A sense of entitlement is a form of the sin of greed and covetousness. It is the attitude that says society owes me something. It's a spoiled child syndrome that does not see the connection between work and reward. The wanting of something, but not a willingness to work for it. And the response of the spoiled child is to abuse those who do not gratify his desires. And there are many middle-aged men and women who have not grown up but are still spoiled children. Since the spoiled child is often powerless, the spoiled child will always want an authority to take the toy away from his neighbor and give it to him. Therefore, those with feelings of entitlement always move their country toward an authoritarian welfare state and away from economic liberty. God's word attacks the attitude of entitlement head-on and describes it for what it really is, greed and covetousness. Let's begin with a few scriptures. Genesis chapter 3. Then to Adam, God said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face, you will eat bread. The curse upon man was that he would have to work in order to produce his needs. This was also a blessing in disguise because in that man had now become a sinner, work was now necessary to keep him humble and to keep him looking to God for rest. I found in all my years of pastoring that those who receive income without having to do real work decline spiritually. They always become selfish, spoiled, lose their priorities, fall into all sorts of ideological errors. God commanded every man to work. Exodus chapter 20, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath for the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. One of my favorite jokes is the guy who says, it's not the Sabbath command I have problems with, it's the command to have to work the other 6 days. But ever since this command to work by the sweat of your brow was given by God, Men in their rebellion to God have done everything they can to avoid it, by stealing the labor of others, by forcing others to do the work for them, by creating some social political systems whereby they do not have to produce products. They can live as bureaucrats and tax people to get a salary. Remember the corruption in Jesus' day, where the tax collectors and the money changers unjustly made a living by manipulating the money supplies? And the great sin of ancient Israel was that the rich bought up all of the land and forced the rest of the population to work as peasants. It was a feudal system, and God was against it, and the Old Testament prophets spoke against the practice. We have to admit, all of us resist having to work. It is hard to get out of bed every morning and go off to work. So the temptation to find some other way is so strong that we easily justify unbiblical ways of turning a buck. Not only are we commanded to work, but the 10th commandment warns us against wrongly desiring what belongs to others. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." But the lazy sinner looks over the fence at what his neighbor has and wishes it for himself. He doesn't think to himself, "I need to work for these things, but I am entitled to have these things." Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4 says, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made rich." When we think of rebellion to God, we think in terms of vices such as smoking, drinking, immorality. But there are attitudes that are rebellion to God. And one of those sinful attitudes is in the 10th commandment, covetousness. And a form of covetousness is having a wrong sense of entitlement, a belief that one deserves wealth without work and that one has been unfairly treated by society. And along with this attitude of entitlement is a deep-seated hatred for God's system of accountability and personal responsibility. Because what is it that keeps the covetous man from getting what he wants? The fact that God has established a system of work and merit if you're to have things. The Apostle Paul writes something that's very politically incorrect in our day. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10, he writes, "If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat." Paul may sound harsh, but the command to work and not be a freeloader off of others is a very serious command of God. But there are people who want economic equality regardless of work. There are people who hate the whole system of having to work to achieve, and they hate the fact that some people can do better than them, morally, spiritually, or economically. A well-known civil rights leader recently stated, "We will not have true social justice until everything is equal." Well, that is not the teaching of the Bible. That is the religion of Marxism. I was reading a fact sheet from a liberal organization recently, and it was explaining the tenets of liberalism. And they freely admitted that the difference between liberalism and conservatism is that liberalism believes in equality, while conservatives believe in merit. That is a crucial difference you must appreciate if you're to understand the socialist liberal mindset. Why do social liberals lean toward equality rather than merit? It's because they despise accountability. Morally, they do not want to be called sinners, and they do not want to be accountable to God's standard of righteousness. And the same mindset flows over into their economic opinions. They do not like economic accountability, even as they do not like moral accountability. Now, aren't some communist socialists motivated by charity for the poor? That is what they will claim. We're being charitable. Undoubtedly, this is the motivation they assume they're operating under. But their charity comes from a strong feeling of unfairness that some people have more than other people. And that is caused by an unbiblical overemphasis on equality. Even as the greedy rich man, like the rich man who passed by the beggar Lazarus in Luke 16, overemphasized merit and excluded grace. This is how people violate God's law. Not by an out-and-out violation, but by a misemphasis. But when people get back to reading the Bible, they will strike the right balance. When it comes to earthly wealth, what does the Bible teach? Equality or merit? Well, God has a merit system. Revelation 22:12, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done." Romans 2:6, "Who will render to each person according to his deeds." Jesus gave the parable of the landowner who gave talents to his workers. The ones who invested the talents were rewarded. The ones who hid the talent were punished. We know that salvation is by grace, but on a human level, we must believe and show our faith by our works. As far as equality, in that parable, God is fair, but not always equal. To the one, the master gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability. The phrase in our Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal, is referring to human rights, but it does not mean everyone is to have equal wealth. Now, there are aspects in which God expects the state to mandate equality and impartiality. And next week, I'm going to deal with those aspects of economics where God expects equality. But when it comes to wealth, the state is not called to confiscate the wealth and redistribute it equally to everyone. The man who works harder and better is to have the greater reward. In Luke 12, we read that someone in the crowd says to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then Jesus said to them, "Beware and be on guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist in possessions." We don't know all of the circumstances, but for whatever reason, the one brother wanted an equal split of the inheritance. We do know, according to the Old Testament law, that the inheritance was not to be split. The older brother would get the double portion. But rather than Jesus saying how unfair it was that his brother would not split the inheritance, Jesus pointed out this man's root problem, greed or covetousness. And Jesus says it comes in many forms. One form is expecting others to give you what they have and expecting everything to be equal. One day I heard a man call into a radio show saying the billionaire Bill Gates has our money. He stole our money with his Microsoft operating system. Wait a minute. Bill Gates provides a great product, and if you don't want to pay him for it, you can use Apple, or you can get Linux for free. But this caller believed it was wrong for people to make a profit on a product. This attitude flows out of bitterness, covetousness, maybe even envy that he didn't come up with the product. God has established merit in this world, and some people are gifted and rewarded. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24, "The hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor." Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, "Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent is made rich." It is an ungodly fallacy to think that everyone needs to have equal amounts of financial wealth. Some people have more stuff, other people have more talent, others have more time, others have more friends, others have more godliness. The measure of a man's life and success is not his money. As Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. This is a very important truth. The root fallacy of Karl Marx's economic theory of communism was that his premise was built upon materialism, that the quality of a man's life is judged by how much money he has, and the communists were able to convince the proletariat, the workers in Russia, that life is all about how much money you make, and if they did not have as much stuff as others, they were being taken advantage of. And Karl Marx played to fallen man's greed, covetousness, envy, and misplaced values. Karl Marx hated the Christian community because they did not get on board with his rant over how unfair the world was. Because Christians don't judge their worth and success by money. We are told in Scripture to be content with our wages and to serve others. The goal of the world is to do as little as possible and get paid as much as possible. The goal of the Christian is to do as much as possible with as little cost to others as possible. and success will come by humble service. Here's another outgrowth of covetousness. Someone sees a product that's expensive. The Christian looks at it and says, if I want that product, I need to either build that product myself or work harder and better at what I do so that the relative cost of that product is less for me. But the covetous man says, the person selling that expensive product must be a crook for charging so much. And the growth of that attitude in our country is scary. And it is a mindset that is coming from leaders in education, politics, and even from pulpits, that it's unfair to make a profit, that it's unfair for things to cost money. Do you know that in the UK, even with this economic downturn, the push is for the government to pay for family vacations? Because now going on holiday is considered a right, and if people can't afford it, the government should send them a check. What is happening is that people are expecting others to build them cars or homes or vacations or groceries, and all they have to do is shuffle a few papers or rubber stamp a few documents. The belief that the value of your work has to match what you can buy is being eroded by a sense of entitlement. Everyone wants an easy, government-protected, mandated job that exists not because somebody wants to buy the product, but because the government has the power to force someone to pay for the job through taxation. And people don't want any connection between the value of the job performed and the paycheck, because that means risk, and that means people actually have to produce real work that people value. Now, the issue that I'm talking about is this form of greed that hates accountability and merit and wants equality and entitlement. And a lesson I want you to remember is that this personal sin is also systematized into political, social ideologies and parties. These groups seek to rebel against God's economic laws. Karl Marx, Engels, Lenin, Stalin, Mao Zedong were all bitter, greedy, spoiled children wanting to do away with God's system of accountability. And it's no surprise that they were all atheists who hated Christianity. Social Marxism is covetousness systematized into a political system. It is covetousness justified by high-sounding political ideology. It is even presented as if it was charitable and the Christian thing to do. Karl Marx believed that the working class was being denied the complete value of their labor by the business owners. And if the workers of the world would unite and rise up against the owners, there would be a fair distribution of wealth in the world, and that would make for a utopian society. Rather than understanding the true roots of sin, he considered the evil in the world to be profit, capitalism, and private property. Just like other ideologies misdiagnose the problem and therefore give the wrong solution. Marx taught that once we remove all possessions from the hands of individuals, then the class struggle would end and everyone would work each according to his ability and give each according to his need. Salvation in Marxism comes by social evolution from capitalism to the perfect society of communism. The conversion experience is when one comes to believe in the principles of communism. Now, one can refute communism on various levels. First, the direct injunction from Scripture that teaches God ordains private property, the right to the labor of your own hands. Second, communism showed its true colors by opposing religious freedom and persecuting the church. Many more people would have been fooled by the economic theories of Karl Marx if it wasn't for the fact that communism was anti-God. See, in the 20th century, the average American was not schooled in economic theory. But the atheism of communism was a red flag that something was wrong with the system. Now, the third problem with communism is that it was rooted in the religion of materialism. It teaches man's disease is that he doesn't have enough stuff. And the cure is to have the government redistribute wealth. It's a false gospel. And the Bolsheviks would never have been able to fool the people and take over Russia if the people of Russia were not judging the value of life by materialism. Communism, socialism only fools people with ungodly priorities. One reason socialism is getting traction in America today is that many Americans are now judging life by the abundance of the things they possess. So socialist politicians can appeal to class envy and get our vote. Remember, Hitler rose to power because he appealed to class envy. He went out there and said he was for the little guy, and anyone who had disagreed with him, he called a greedy business owner. And the citizenship at this time was so materialistic that they fell for it. Populist appeal to resentment against fat cats and international bankers and stock market traders makes headway when the American populace does not have Christian values. Well, finally, one good thing about all this entitlement and socialism is that it just doesn't work. When a man fights against God's system of accountability, he loses. One can try to make a country run on an alternate reality, but in the end, you cannot live a lie. The problem with socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's money to spend. The Soviet Union went bankrupt. The liberal thinkers have turned New York State into a welfare state. Now there is a $9 billion deficit. There is not enough people doing enough work to give out so many entitlements. God's economic laws punish people. And when the economic punishment comes, what usually happens is that a nation swings back toward conservative economic values. But not always. Some people are so set on believing the lie that they will run the country into the ground before they will admit the truth. And they don't care if we all someday live in grass huts, as long as we're all equal. Because for them, equality and the destruction of accountability is more important than the comforts of life. I know people like this. If they cannot win the game, nobody can win the game. They are the spoiled child who tips over the board if he doesn't win. What I've been trying to describe for you today is the psychology of the fallen secular liberal mind. Communism, socialism is rooted in bitterness over God's system of economic accountability. This is foundational. If you don't understand this, you will never understand the liberal mind. And you'll never understand why they promote certain policies. And you know that if God says, "You shall work by the sweat of your brow," there are going to be people in every generation who are going to rebel against that. Not only by stealing or by laziness, but that rebellion will come in sophisticated political ideologies. I might be speaking to someone today who has had a hatred toward God's system of merit and accountability. You never liked that people were better than you or richer than you. You've always been jealous. It may be something that you've never recognized in yourself because it's operating on a subconscious level. But it is why you have always had an underlying resentment toward others. And if you're a politically orientated person, it is why that you've always leaned a certain way in your political views. We all have certain sins. And coming to Christ means repenting of sins. And sometimes we don't even realize that we have sinful attitudes that go very, very deep into our psyche. Here is what we all need to do. Accept God's accountability, be thankful, and seek His saving grace. And you will have the peace and blessing of God on your life. For God resists the proud, and He gives grace to the humble. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You have been listening to God and Country Radio. Contact us by way of our website, godandcountryradio.org. There you can listen to this program again. Check out previous programs. That's godandcountryradio.org, 732-583-9286. Thank you for listening today. Let's close in prayer. Oh Lord, what entitlements do we have except that we're sinners and deserve everlasting condemnation? But despite this, you sent your Son to die for our sins. May we humble our hearts and work with our hands and find our wealth and peace in the gift of Jesus Christ. Amen.